Off the faceoff, the puck eventually comes to Yamamoto. Trying to find McDavid, he does, going to the net! Couldn't get the shot away, he still has it. Wraparound backhand attempt, he still has it. He shoots, he scores! It's the Connor McDavid Show, and it's 2-0 late in the third period of Game 7.
McLeod creating some time and space. Yamamoto takes it. Costin's parked in front. Yamamoto to the net, and it's in the net! The go-ahead goal, Kyler Yamamoto! The Oilers set to celebrate. And for the second straight season, the Edmonton Oilers have punched their ticket to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
So here we are again, same time next year.
Hit the music!
Doing a lot of those openings lately, you know, mishmash of games, setting up, trying to get you fired up for the podcast. That was my favorite because for whatever reason, Brad Sham, legendary play-by-play voice of the Dallas Cowboys, and that line prior to Super Bowl 28 between the Cowboys and the Bills, rematch of the year before, that's always stood out for me. There's certain broadcast calls that always stand out for me that aren't necessarily anything special, but you just hear them a lot. There's an NBA one. I think it's from the 1992 NBA Finals. Now, history has not been kind to the 1992 NBA Finals. People, it's a forgettable series, but what people don't realize today is going into the 1992 NBA Finals, that was like, oh my God, we're going to see it. This is the marquee matchup, Bulls-Blazers. They were the two teams, and it had been said that people had been waiting on that matchup for two seasons. They thought they were going to get it in 91. The Lakers upset the Blazers. And then they got it in 92. And of course, they came within a game of getting it in 90 when the Bulls damn near knocked out the Pistons. And then no Tippin Pippin gets his migraine, his little pussy-ass migraine. No, I'm just joking. I love Scottie Pippen. Not these days, but I did as a player. Anyway, love that. And it is perfect for this series preview, Oilers-Kings. I just about forgot to do this podcast, and I settled into a Sunday of watching hockey, but we're almost done all the game ones. We only got two left. Of course, the Oilers-Kings are one of them, and the Stars and the Fuckheads are the other ones. And I gotta say, the hockey in the East fucking sucks. Boy, that conference was, it didn't get enough love this season from the media about how much the East was down. That conference sucks. And the hockey being played in the West is far superior. And I'm not even sure we've seen the two best series yet. I know Dallas and Fuckheads are going to be awesome. Everybody pulling for Dallas. Oh, Dallas is North America's team. They are beloved across North America. Boy, it'd be a shame if Mark Stone got a spleen injury first shift of the game, wouldn't it? That'd be the first time in his life. Seriously. But that's not what we're here to talk about. That Avs-Jets game, by the way. Oh, came three times. Like orgasmed. Three times. I was watching Pornhub while the game was on, but still. Still. Counts. Counting it. Counting that one. Counting that one, guys. Me and Malkova. Woo! Babe. Oilers Kings. I want to be quick because it's Sunday night. It's like I'm foregoing watching the end of the Canucks Preds game. When I started editing everything and putting together the opening, it was 2-1 Preds. It's now 3-2 Canucks. Late in the third. Minute 49 left in the third, to be exact. Shot on goal by Roman Josi, saved by Thatcher Demko. What are the shots now? 20-20. I got to admit, this one hasn't been that great. It's been an intense game. What I saw the first 40 minutes, it was an intense game. It wasn't that great a game. And I'm really torn as to who I'd want as an Oilers fan. I'm really torn as to who I'd want. Because I really like what the Preds have done this season. Like, I'm always a sucker for teams doing bold things and management being, you know, it's well-run organizations. The Preds are really well-run. Trotz took some massive swings getting rid of some of the dead weight in that room. And it paid off. But I firmly believe the Oilers would beat the Canucks if they beat them in the second round. And it's 1 hour flight. That matters. That matters a lot. Although you lose to the Canucks, you never live it down. Boy, do you never live it down. But, yeah, so coin flip, I don't know. I think it's a coin flip series. I think I picked Nashville in six. Nashville looked like the better team early on in the game. The Canucks are going to be pesky no matter who they play. Like, they're going to run out of gas at some point here in the playoffs. But, man, Rick Tocchet has them buying in. Anyway, this is the Kings and the Oilers. I want to be really quick here. I don't want this podcast to drag on, but I do have some things to say about this series. Let's start it off by saying the Oilers should make quick work of the Kings. Should being the operative word. They should have made quick work of the Kings in 2022, and it went seven. And it went to that Connor McDavid goal with under 5 minutes to play in Game 7. Like, it was insane how deep that series went when it shouldn't have. Last year was essentially a six-game sweep. The Oilers, nobody wants to say this, the Oilers were the better team in the wins and the losses. The Kings got two very controversial OT goals to win both the games they won. They were outplayed in both those games. It just, the Kings were not close to the Oilers last year. Once the Oilers cracked Korpisalo, man, it was done. Man alive was it done. And he still hasn't rebounded. They should make quick. I don't think there's a team in the West the Oilers match up better with than the Kings. The Kings' whole thing is depth. The Oilers match it. Like, completely match it. And then, you know, like, wow, look at what the Kings got down the middle. Uh-huh. The Oilers can throw just as good, well, much better depth down the middle than the Kings can. And again, I have pointed this out many times during the season. Philip Deneau being the 3C doesn't mean you have the best three centers in the league. Can we fucking get smarter than that, please? Oh, Kings got the best centers in the league. Look at Phil Deneau's their third line center. Uh-huh. The Oilers can put Nuge as their third line center. They can also run that. The Canucks are running right now a better trio down the middle than the Kings have. The Jets match it. The Jets match the Kings down the middle and are probably better. Just with Adam Lowry alone, though, that I would argue that matches Phil Deneau. Are we splitting hairs? Yeah, we are splitting hairs. If you want to say Phil Deneau is better than Adam Lowry, cool. But you get my point? Like, Vegas can do it. Dallas can do it. Anyone can run the centers the Kings run. They don't have the high end. So the Oilers should make quick work of the Kings. Here are the X factors for the Oilers. I got a top four because we know what the number one X factor is for the Oilers in the series and in the playoffs in general. Stuart Skinner. Without a doubt. If Stuart Skinner can be a solid playoff goaltender, I do not mean a guy who can steal them series. I mean a guy who won't lose them games. If he can be that, the Oilers are going to be all right. Will they win the cup? I don't know. But they'll be all right if Stuart Skinner just doesn't lose them games. If he keeps them... If he just... And I mean, from what he's been from U.S. Thanksgiving on, that's ideal, right? He wasn't perfect, but he was solid. So it goes without saying that Skinner's the number one X factor. But there's four others. There's a top five, and there's four others. Number five, he might not even play game one, which I'm baffled at yet again from Chris Knobloch, but Connor Brown. Connor Brown is an X factor for me because of what he can be. And if Connor Brown, as we've seen him as this season's wore on in the last quarter of the season, he has finally started to get back to what he was. If he can complete that during the play or in the playoffs, if he can complete that and become that 20 goal, 40 point burner, amazing penalty killer, workhorse type guy, boy, the Oilers are deep. Like, they're deep already. That guy might be, that guy's in your bottom six, and either he puts Perry down to the fourth line or he's on the fourth line playing like that. Either scenario is golden for the Oilers. So Connor Brown is my number five X factor. Number four, and boy, did this get dicey today, Evander Kane. I don't have the energy to get into the LTIR stuff. I just don't. I'm exhausted. I want to get to bed. It's 10:47. Did the Canucks win? Canucks won 4-2. So that's like every team I picked to win the series is down 1-0. No, I picked the Rangers, obviously. And I picked the Canes. But everyone else I picked is down 1-0. Interesting. I'm a jinx. Dakota Joshua continues. Man, he's going to get paid. Woo! He is going to get paid. That's Mason Marchment 2.0, Dakota Joshua. But yeah, with Kane, obviously, if Kane can play up to his capabilities, it is everything for the Oilers. It's needed. He plays a game that you can't replicate, that nobody can replicate. Well, few players can replicate. They need it. They badly need it. I don't know how to expand on it, but they just badly need it. 3-2 are virtually the same thing. I think because I say that, I think you probably know where I'm going with this. I got Cody CC3, though you could say Troy Stetcher. And I got Darnell Nurse 2. So if you remove goaltending, what I'm saying here, Darnell Nurse is the number one X factor for the Oilers. Darnell Nurse has been a joke. Not just not playing well, he's been a joke in the last quarter of the season. Is it fair to say the last quarter? It's the last 10 games for sure. Basic post-trade deadline, he's been a joke. I can't stress it enough. A fucking joke. You're told, well, ignore the contract, blah, blah, blah. This guy is paid to be a number one defenseman. Right now, he's a number five defensemen. Don't tell people that, oh, well, they should lay off. They should lay off. He's fine. Fuck off. We're done with this. We're done with being nice to Darnell Nurse. And I know some people might say, oh, well, he's got a rough ride in Edmonton. Yep. And guess what? He's never outside, maybe one season, 2021. Other than that, he has never given the fans a reason to embrace him like he wants. He is paid $9.25 million. He asked for that. His camp asked for that. Guess what comes with that? Pressure, expectations. You didn't want that? Then you don't ask for that. Simple. Fucking simple. And when you ask for that kind of money, for that percentage of the cap, motherfucker, you better live up to it. And he not only has not lived up to it, he isn't even playing like a fucking $6 million defenseman right now. And his bud code needs to fucking nut up himself. Now, they'll be fine against LA because LA won't pressure. And when those two don't get pressure, they are fine. Not great, but they're fine. What's going to happen, though, when they play Vancouver, when they play Vegas, when they play Colorado, you know, whoever might end up, if they got past LA and if they got past Vancouver or Nashville, whoever might be waiting for them, probably Dallas. Although I said Colorado, and Colorado's down 1-0, and Georgiev, man alive, Anonin better be ready to go game two. Whew! Darnell Nurse has to be, it's time. You know what you're going to get from McDavid. You know what you're going to get from Dreisaitl. You know what you're going to get from Hyman. You know what you're going to get from so many guys on this roster. It is time for Darnell Nurse to quit being so fucking stubborn and play a game that is going, the type of game that is going to contribute to the team's success. Quit trying to do too much. Quit trying to be something you're not capable of being. Just defend. Again, for the billionth time on this podcast, he should be the human eraser. He should be nicknamed Off Night, because the coach should be able to throw him out against anyone in the league and he shuts them down. And he is not remotely close to that fucking guy. Now's the time. Step up or step off, as far as I'm concerned. And no, you're not getting rid of that contract. So step off really isn't going to be an option for this organization. But holy fuck. Right now, because of that contract, he's one of the worst picks in Oilers history. You think about that. They would have been better off with a bust of a pick with the 7th pick in the 2013 draft than Darnell Nurse. They would have been better off selecting, let's say, Curtis Lazar from the Oil Kings. Not that Lazar's a bust, but he's a pretty big disappointment. Would have been better off because they never would have paid Lazar. Anyway, CC Nurse, 2-3, and you take out Skinner, they're 1-2. If politics weren't part of it, you wouldn't have CC on this list because he wouldn't be playing. Because of contracts, because of insecurities of thin-skinned people, CC plays. Garbage organization. But let's move on. As for the Kings, the most overrated team in the league the last two seasons. Although that's gone away since they came back down to earth. We know what the X factor is for the Kings, same as the Oilers. It's goaltending. Talbot and Rittich. But there is a second X factor that is as big. It is the biggest X factor in this series. And that is Pierre-Luc Dubois. Going into this series, everybody loves the Oilers because everybody thinks that the Kings are going to be what they've been the last 3 months. Fair. And what they've been the last 3 months combined with the fact that the Oilers have beat them 2 years in a row. What if Pierre-Luc Dubois plays up to his capabilities, though? And you might say, why would that happen? He's got a brand new 8-year contract and he has none at all season. Like, why would he all of a sudden flip the switch? This is a guy who's shown up for the playoffs before. When he showed up for the playoffs in Columbus, this guy was thought to be a franchise center. I was one of those people. Pierre-Luc Dubois in Columbus was a monster, was an absolute beast in the playoffs. He can be that guy. And if he's that guy, that's a pretty bad matchup for one of Leon or Connor. Or maybe he goes against McLeod and that third line. And McLeod, I think, could handle it, but it would be Dubois at his best. He'd be getting his. And if PLD is right, this is a series. If he's not, I think the Oilers in five. If he is on, and it's not to say, like, look, if he's on, the Oilers are still the better roster. But I just think what I don't like for the Oilers coming into this series, and I don't like this group in general, let's remember one thing. Their off switch is, wow, they know where to find the off switch, this group. They do. If you're an Oilers fan, you probably don't want to admit that, but it's true. This team is 1-8 in the McDavid era in game ones. They don't bother showing up for game one. Now, some of those, in fairness, weren't dog shit performances. Last year against the Kings in game one, I didn't think the Oilers had... the Oilers deserved to win the game. Shit luck cost them the game. Game one against the Kings the year before... Oh, they didn't show up. Game one against the Jets in 2021. The analytics said they showed up. I didn't ever feel like they showed up. Game one against Chicago in the bubble. Let's just try to forget that one. And I know it was the bubble and it was a joke, but it still happened. What about game one against Calgary? Oh, about game one against Colorado? Wasn't a whole lot prettier than Calgary. What about game one against Vegas? And let's stop on that series for a minute. And no, I'm not going to go into another rant about Mark Stone, LTIR, all that shit for a minute. That is the most, not even talked about. I've heard all season, and I've said this before, so this is nothing new, but I've heard all season about how, you know, I'd really like to know, like, what the difference was between Vegas and the Oilers in last year's playoffs. You know, it was the Vegas depth. That's what the difference was in the series. The Vegas depth. Oh, that big blue line. The Oilers couldn't handle that big blue line that Vegas has. Oh, Aiden Hill. Aiden Hill really stood on his head those last two games. No. No. You want to know what the difference was in that series? Was the Oilers didn't bother to take the Golden Knights very seriously the whole time. They fucking no-showed game one. Remember, that game ended 6-4. Empty netter made it 6-4. The only guy who scored was 29. If it wasn't for 29, that is a 5-0 Vegas win. 5-0. I can't remember what the score ended up in game three, but they no-showed game completely. Fucking no-showed in game three as well. They took them serious in game two and took them serious in game four. Even in game five, they let down. They let up. They were never hungry. Game six, I think they always felt like, well, we'll get them back. Oh, well, we'll take over eventually. This team has a terrible habit. It's not even a habit. This team, this group, thinks they're better than they are. This is one of the most overconfident teams I've ever seen. That's my opinion, anyway. And because of that, this Kings series gives me a little bit of worry. Because, you know, the Kings got them a couple times in the regular season last year. I think that had the Oilers ready for the Kings last year in the playoffs. In 2022, like, that series should have been a sweep. And the Oilers, thinking they were too good to be in the series and felt like LA should have just went home rather than having to play the games. Like, that series should have been a sweep. A professional team would have swept the Kings in that series. They had no Doughty. They had and I know Jonathan Quick's had a bounce back season this year, but they had an aging, not very good Jonathan Quick in net. They weren't as deep as they became. They really weren't good on the blue line. Like, that should have been a sweep. And the Oilers, being the Oilers, thought they were too cool for school. Or in this case, hockey. But hockey doesn't rhyme with cool. So, there you go. We'll see that tonight, that's a big, big game for me. Like, in my mind, I could see them laying one of the biggest eggs imaginable tonight. And then, if that happens, are they going to have the maturity to come back and win game two? Because they did it the last 2 years, so I worry that what you could get if they drop game one this time is big-time overconfidence that they'll blow them out in game two. Big time overconfidence. Like, it just wouldn't surprise me, man. I can't. That is the biggest reason I can't say the Oilers are going to go deep in the playoffs this year. Is this group just lacks so much focus. It's unbelievable. You know when they're like, you can tell when they're going to get scored on. Start of periods, like they come out so often, first, second, or third. They'll come out so often and just be sleepwalking through a period. That got addressed, that got tightened up quite a bit under Chris Knobloch, but I still don't trust that it's going to be the case. I still just don't trust it. They have terrible starts. They've had terrible starts under Chris Knobloch in general this season. They score a goal, no team gets scored on quicker. You notice what this team doesn't do? Like, if you ever notice this about this group, they never, ever, well, seemingly, ever get two quick goals. But you know what they do a lot? They get scored on right after they score. They fall asleep. They let up. There's no desperation. And you can see that, man. You watch the Avs play versus the Oilers. Two teams that are so similar in so many ways. The difference and the reason the Avs have won a cup is because the Avs defend really hard. And the Avs are scared to give up goals. The Avs play scared that they'll get scored on. The Oilers do not play scared that they'll get scored on. The Oilers play like, well, if we get scored on, we'll go get three, so who cares? Ugh. This, the more I give it thought, the more I think that this game tonight is vital for the Oilers in this series. I would love to see an Oilers team come out and look to just kick the ever-living shit out of the Kings. To just dominate them. Because they could. They could. They have the perfect team to play LA. You could not ask for a more perfect... Well, get Cody Ceci out of there and Troy Stetcher in the lineup. But you couldn't ask for a much better team to play the LA Kings. To match up with them. You just couldn't. I, as negative as I sound right now, I'm only just worried about what the Oilers might do. Like, truthfully, and I said this on my playoff preview show, I think the Oilers get them in five. I don't see a path for the Kings. Even if you get PLD playing up to his capabilities, okay, that takes it six or seven. But, eh. I don't know. I don't see a path for the Kings. I just don't, barring injuries, of course. Injuries can always even it up. But the one thing the Kings could do and probably should do and probably won't do is change up their forecheck. And the 1-3-1 should not be the system they play. They didn't play the 1-3-1 in 2022. They hard forechecked the Oilers. They used their speed, and guess what? It worked wonders. That's what they should be doing in this series. I don't know if they'd beat the Oilers playing that way, because obviously you're going to give up more offensive chances. But to me, pressuring their D, the Oilers' D that is, that's where you want to go, in my opinion. Because two of the three pairings can't move the puck. We'll see. The one thing I'm confident in with this series should be a great series. Even if it only goes five, even if it's a sweep, it should be a great series. I don't think the Oilers, let's say the Oilers swept. I don't think the Oilers would blow them out. Yeah, it'd be like Carolina and Florida last year, where if they swept, it would be tight games all the way. And obviously, if the Kings swept, I'm sure it would be tight games all the way. I don't know. The Oilers fan in me worries about jinxing everything. And so then I'm led to go, okay, well, I got to figure out a way that the Kings can win the series, because I do not want to be that guy who's going, rah, rah, Oilers. There's no chance for the Kings. Oilers in two. Like, I don't want to be that guy. But I just don't see the path for LA. I don't. It's a decent hockey team. It's not a great hockey team. And I don't think they've got another level to go to. They might have another level to go to in the playoffs from what they've been in the second half of the season. But I don't think they've got, you know, I said this last year, they don't have a second gear. It was right. Yeah, they're boring to play against and you've got to be patient playing against them. But if you are, you win. And that's the thing. They're not playing to win. They're playing to hope that you beat you. They're not trying to beat you. Does that make sense? So all you have to do playing them is not beat yourself. That's it. That's it. We'll see. We'll see how mature this Oilers team has become. We'll see. Tonight gets going. 8 o'clock. Don't expect a post-game show. Unless something crazy happens, do not expect a post-game show. Maybe for Wednesday's game. Maybe for Friday's game if I don't go somewhere to watch it. Maybe for Sunday's game if I don't go somewhere to watch it. And then after that, I'm not sure. But that's, I think the Oilers win in five. The Oilers should win in five. But I do think we have to be a little bit more nervous than what's being led on. That this is going to be, this has, there's some potential there for the Kings. Don't just write the Kings off, even though I basically have. It's a good club, and more so, I just worry that this Oilers group, just something doesn't feel right to me. I don't feel like they've learned their lesson, but we will see. Should be awesome to watch regardless. Won't be awesome to watch if they lose. That's actually, I lied. It should be awesome to watch if they win. Enjoy the hockey. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
All Canadians in fighting condition are asked to meet by the tree in Edmonton.